Morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you. A couple of weeks ago, I was very fortunate to be able to stay overnight at Hokyoji with my husband. For those of you who haven't ever been to Hokyoji, it's a Zen practice community and a retreat center in the very southeastern tip of Minnesota. And there are two pictures of it right at the bottom of our stairs. You can take a look and see how beautiful it is. It's in the bluff country, and it's just gorgeous. And so we were there, and we stayed overnight in that little cabin behind the bathhouse. It was great. And I had been there, you know, I've been going there for, I don't know, over 10 years or something. And I had been there in the spring, and I'd been there in the summer, and I'd been there in the early fall. But I had never been there in the late fall. I had never been there when the trees were gone. And I just walked around marveling at what a different place it was. You know, it was just I could see so much more when the leaves were all gone from it. And in the morning, Dave and I took a walk around the big meadow. And on the far side of the meadow, where there's a big stand of trees that usually has a lot of underbrush and a lot of leaves, we were walking by there, and I looked in, and I realized that the land goes way down like that in there. It's sort of not quite a ravine, but it's way bigger than a gully. And there was something about that that just astonished me, because I've seen it so many times, and I've taken out the leavings from the garden, you know, the old stalks and stuff, and taking the wheelbarrow and dumped them right there, and I never noticed that because you couldn't see it. So it was there was something about that just really that really moved me. It wasn't stark at all. It was just beautiful. So today, I want to talk about bare trees. And I'm going to start with a koan. This koan features a Zen priest, monk, in China in the Tang Dynasty. And his name was Yunmen. Most of us know him better by his Japanese name, which was Uman. And those of you who were in Sishin last week will remember Uman very well from a couple of Tim's talks. Uman had a way of answering questions in koans in a very pithy, direct way. And he was featured in about 30 koans between the three koan collections. So he's kind of a big guy in Zen. So here's the koan. A monk asked Uman, "What happens when all the leaves fall and the tree is finally bare?" And Uman answers, "Golden wind." That's his answer. So what happens when all the leaves fall and the trees are finally bare? Golden wind. Some of the commentaries say that the leaves falling from the tree represents the way that our thoughts fall away during zazen, during sitting meditation. That's what the monk is asking about in this indirect way. And other commentaries say that he's asking what happens when all of our attachments drop away. What happens in our life when our attachments drop away through our diligent practice? Well, I think first of all, we can't know what he was asking. We weren't there. We weren't in his head. Who knows? But in my mind, it's about both what happens when the thoughts fall away and when our attachments fall away. Because, actually, it's the same thing. They're both the same thing. when we sit in zazen, we sit and we sit and we sit, and these thoughts come up and up and up, and then they drop away. And when we sit for a really long time, eventually that starts to happen in our lives too, you know. The thoughts that we learn to just let go of and then wait for the next one to come back in like the tide. The same thing happens with our attachments, all the ways that we grasp and all the strategies that we come up with to get through life and all of our defenses, all the ways that we separate ourselves, you know, in the same way that we let go of our thoughts in zazen in our lives, we let go of all those kind of attachments. So our thoughts in zazen and our attachments and our grasping mind kind of mirror each other, I think. They're reflections of each other. So we let go of one and there's always another one right behind it. There's always another one coming up. There's always something that we want to cling on to, that we want to have that we don't have now, or something that we don't have now. Did I get that wrong? Something that we have that we don't want, or something that we don't want that we do have. It just happens continually, just like those thoughts in zazen. But the thing is, we don't have to be disturbed by those. We don't have to be disturbed by the thoughts. We don't have to be disturbed by the attachments. And we don't have to believe them. And certainly we don't have to act on them. Because when we have a good meditation practice, you get to the point where you can see them as they arise. And you can find that space in between their arising and your mind saying, oh, this would be a really good idea to go, you know, to go take care of this, or to go, you know, think about wherever it is my mind is going in zazen. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to be disturbed by those thoughts. So the monk asked Uman what happens when the leaves fall and the trees finally bear, and his answer is golden wind. And it's one of those koan answers where you have to know a little bit about the culture at that time. And in Tang Dynasty China, golden wind, one of the meanings of it was it was a metaphor for autumn. It was a metaphor for autumn. And sometimes meditation itself is compared to autumn, you know, when all the leaves fall down and the trees stand bare. And when we sit like that, we're like that bare tree, you know. There's nothing hidden and we can see the world. There's nothing hidden in us and we can see the world more clearly without those leaves obscuring us. So when we're sitting, we see life as it is and we realize that it's nothing extraordinary. You know, the wind blows, the trees bear. Or you could say, we sit and we see how unbelievably extraordinary it is that the leaves fall and the wind blows. So we have a tree right out in front of Zen Center, and it's a really big, very full tree, and in the fall is when you really notice it, because it turns this extraordinary color of gold, and when the light hits it, it's just amazing. So it's this beautiful tree, and sometimes I'll be up on the third floor with somebody, and we'll go out on the balcony and say, you know, there's a really good view of the lake out here, you got to see this. And we'll go out on the balcony and all we can see is the leaves of that tree. You know, we can't see the lake. And beautiful as the tree is, and beautiful as those leaves are, they obscure this sort of miraculous lake that's there in the middle of the city. They obscure it, and we can't see it. We have to wait until the leaves have fallen before we can see it. I think of that lake as a sort of a Zen Center's unofficial metaphor for enlightenment. You know, think about all the times you've walked around that lake and you've been so caught up in all your little stuff that you didn't see the lake. But the lake's always there. You know, the lake is there whether the leaves are green and thick, or whether the leaves are beautiful and golden, or whether the leaves are all gone and you can finally see it. That lake is always there. So, and whether the wind is blowing or not when you're up on that balcony, whether that golden wind is blowing or not, doesn't matter. If it's blowing, you know, we might lean a little bit this way, you know, we might lean a little bit this way, but our practice will hold us up and we won't break. We won't break. So, we won't get snapped in two. One of the things about working with a koan, you know, koans are really, we think of them as being more of a Rinzai kind of a practice, and not Soto, which is our tradition. But, you know, actually Dogen, who was the monk who brought Soto Zen to Japan, worked a lot with koans. He's got, you know, a book full of koans that he worked with. So we just sort of have a different way of working with them than the working your way through each one at a time and going into your teacher kind of a way that they do in Rinzai. Anyway, when we work with a koan, one of the ways that we can work with it is to just when there's a koan that we run across that sort of grabs us, we can carry it with us. So as we're going through the day, it's just kind of there somewhere, just on the outer edge of our consciousness. And every so often we come back to it and we just think about that koan. When we're sitting in zazen, whenever we drift away, we can use the koan to sort of bring ourselves back. So when you drift away and you're having some thought in zazen and you've been thinking about this koan, and you kind of you notice that you've drifted off and you bring yourself back by saying, what about that tree? What about that tree? And what's the first thing that would happen if you were sitting, you know, you're just sitting there looking at the wall, you think, what about that tree? And the first thing that would happen is you would sit up straight. There's something about the idea of the visual of the tree going through your mind that makes you sit up straight. And sitting up straight in zazen changes everything. That's why we use that instruction for people. You know, if you have kind of schlumpy zazen like this, you're going to have sort of a schlumpy mind. So we think about the tree, and the first thing we do is we sit up straight, and it changes everything. And in our regular sort of everyday off the cushion lives, you know, we can be walking down the street over in Uptown and we're just walking around thinking about what's next and, you know, the errands that we have to run or the movie that we just saw or, you know, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden we think about, you know, what happens when the tree is finally bare? What about it? And that thought just kind of runs through your mind. And it just kind of stops you. And you can ask yourself, what does that mean right now in my life? What does that mean right now as I'm walking down the street in Uptown? the tree is finally bare. What does that mean, the golden wind, right now in my life? And a lot of the times when you think that, the next thought you'll have is, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. If you think you do, you need to keep working on it, I think. So, but at the same time, you're walking through, you know, you're walking around, that thought comes up, and even if you have no idea, it's kind of brought you back into this moment. It's kind of snapped you back into this moment. And, you know, it kind of wakes you up, and you're upright just for that one moment. You're upright, and then you can look around. You look around the scene that's around you with sort of a new kind of spaciousness after that. You know, you've sort of forgotten the movie you just saw, or you're not thinking about, you know, that you have to go to Walgreens. You're looking at the scene that's actually around you, because that's the effect that it's had on you, and that bringing you kind of upright. So, one of the commentaries talked about that. It said, we are so full of thoughts, desires, memories, dreams, that there is no space within us. That space has to be created. That is the art of meditation, to create inner space. Inner space. And then you will start dancing in the golden wind. So, that was his commentary on the golden wind. So, you know, it is possible to dance in that golden wind. To dance in the golden wind after all of our leaves have fallen. And in the silence of that space that we create. A few years ago, I got to spend several weeks down at Hokkyoji. And at that time, Dokai was living there by himself. So it was just Dokai and me for most of the 3 weeks that I was there. And it was very, very quiet. And one day we were having lunch, and we were eating just quietly. We weren't talking or anything. And then Dokai said, you know, when the refrigerator engine stops running like that, we can't hear any man-made sounds. And I realized when he said that I never heard the refrigerator engine start up. You know how the refrigerator engine starts up and then it kicks on and then it kicks off? And I never heard that, not once. But he did, because he'd been living there alone in this really quiet place for a long time. And it's like when you've been sitting for a long time. You know, if you've been sitting, particularly in retreats, we just had Rahatsu Sesshin, our big long retreat of the year this last week. And some people sat for a day, some people sat for a couple of days, and some people sat for all 7 days. And by the end of that 7 days, you are hearing and noticing things that you otherwise wouldn't have. You otherwise wouldn't have. In the same way that Dokai could hear the refrigerator click on and off, that I never noticed. So, for the rest of the time that I stayed there, though, I did notice when the refrigerator, you know, would kick in and when it would kick off. And I also started noticing other sounds, and ones that I probably wouldn't have heard. You know, I noticed the sound of the grass rustling in the wind, and I noticed the sound of the leaves in the trees when the wind went through. So then you come back to the city, where there's all kinds of noise and hubbub. But when you come back to the city after that, when you come back to your regular life after a retreat, there's a way in which that stays with you. There's a way in which you can call that silence back up at any time. You know, once in a while, when you're out and about in your busy life, all those sounds can just drop away. And you've got that sort of in your core somewhere. You can call up that peacefulness. You know, you can be right in the middle of it. You can be, it can be 5 PM on Christmas Eve in the Mall of America. And you can find that quiet and that silence. It's possible, although I don't recommend it. So it's times like that when it's 5 p.m. and you're at the Mall of America and it's Christmas Eve that I think we're most grateful for this practice, because then we can see that we've gotten something. I got something out of it. So, and of course, there is nothing to get out of it, right? So Tigan talks about that in his new book. Tigan Layton has this wonderful new book out. It's called Zen Questions, Zazen, Dogen, and the Spirit of Creative Inquiry. It was just published November 30th, and I've only gotten through the first couple of chapters. The first section of it is all about Zazen, and I read it just before Rahatsu started, and it was really inspirational. And then I was just getting into his part on translating Dogen, which was really wonderful, and I had to put it down. So he talks about Zazen as a form of creative expression that fosters creative energy. And he said that's because it allows this sort of beyond thinking, this bigger view, to happen when we're in the middle of our everyday kind of crazy lives. So he says, new possibilities can appear right in the lamentations of the particular life you are living. With your work, your family, and your friends, right in the specific context of the world we create together. As we are willing to settle into a regular practice of Zazen, we develop a capacity to allow our lives to be informed by this, to be informed by this beyond thinking, this deeper awareness. So, we allow our lives to be informed by it. Right in the middle of the lamentations of our lives. I like that. Does your life ever have lamentations in it? Mine does. If you think it doesn't, come talk to me afterwards. We'll find some for you. So there we are, and the golden wind just continues to blow. You know, it's not a cold wind. He doesn't say it's a bitter wind. But the golden wind blows through and our lives just go on. The external circumstances change all the time. But at some point, we develop a kind of wisdom that arises from noticing that things are always changing. Things come and go, just like our thoughts in Zazen. We develop a kind of wisdom around that. And meanwhile, no matter what those external circumstances are, we can see that the tree is still there, you know. It's still underneath and it's still standing tall. And it might look a little bit stark. You look out the window at our trees here, and you might think that it looks a little bit stark, but it's also got this unbelievable beauty up against the sky. Whether it's a blue sky like we have this morning, or one of those gray winter skies that we're going to get to know so well pretty soon. It's complete just the way it is. There's nothing missing in it. and these trees that we see out there right now already have the capacity for the buds that are going to come in the spring. The budding of the spring leaves is already there in the tree. The summer leaves for next year are in that tree right now. And it's standing there bare against the sky. So, some more Taigen. So he asks, can we actually be present with this body and mind as it is, not our ideas of who we are, but actually be present with the physical sensation and the swirling thoughts that are happening on our cushion right now, without trying to get anything from it, and also not trying to get rid of it? Do not hold back at all. Do not hold back from just being yourself, from just fully enjoying or engaging this present experience, whether you feel good, bad, or indifferent about it. This is the heart of Zazen practice. That's the tree standing bare in the golden wind. That's it right there. Engaging in this present experience, whether you feel good, bad, or indifferent about it. Whether the leaves are there or not, the golden wind is still. It's always blowing through. It's just our lives. You know, that's it. Those are those trees standing bare. So, I think that's everything I want to say about that. So, anybody else have anything they want to talk about?
Great tree.
Is it?
I've always really resonated with the image of trees. Beautiful tree against the blue sky with the full moon.
All of that full moon, yeah. That was really something.
Great.
Yeah. I couldn't resist writing down some of my favorite koans with Uman. He had one where he said Uman to his disciples, "I do not ask you to say anything about before the 15th day of the month, but say something about after the 15th day of the month." And his monks all just sat there slack-jawed. They had no idea. So Uman was famous for answering his own koans. So he said, every day is a good day. So if you've heard that saying, every day is a good day, it's from Uman. Here's another one that we've heard in different forms. A monk asked Uman, "What is the samadhi of each individual thing?" And Uman replied, "Rice in bowl, water in pail." And here's my very favorite one. The monk asked, "Where is the place from which all Buddhas come?" And Uman said, "Next question, please." I thought, I'm going to remember that one. There will be a day when I'm sitting here and I'll say, as Uman would say, "Next question, please." Well, why don't we have some announcements and then have some tea?